Many people look for something to fulfill their lives. Isn't that true? Some people chase after careers or the powers. They will get on top of this ladder, whatever it takes. Even if they have to step on somebody, even if they have to do illegal things, they will do to get on the top, to get their power. And then they are not happy. Why? Because there's still something is missing. Some people try to make money. I mean, they want to make money so bad, they will cheat and lie or whatever it takes, almost selling even their mother's tomb, and they get to the position where they have more money than their next few generations can possibly spend. But they are not happy because something is still missing. And some people go after the relationship. And they date, they get married, and they find that they don't know what it is. Whatever they've been trying to find in their relationship is not there, so they put the blame on the other person. They go through divorce. And they marry again, and again, and again. Folks, you find that person still missing something. And some people chase after religion. They do this, they do that in religious activities. Yet, they are not finding fulfillment in their activities. Other people admire their religious conviction. But they are not happy because it's something still missing. We find a man who is influential, who is powerful, who is very rich, and even religious, yet he was empty in his heart. He made a trip to Israel. We find this man in Acts chapter 8. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. As we memorize the index, it's right between John and Romans. If you're looking for Acts in the Old Testament, you're into the wrong place. Acts chapter 8. And verse 26, please. 8:26. If you're not familiar with the Bible, we don't have a number. Do we have a number? Oh, you can find it. You will find one once we start to read. Anyway, this man was traveling from Ethiopia all the way to the Jerusalem, Israel. The distance is 1,580 miles one way by chariot. That would be the distance from Phoenix, Arizona to Atlanta, Georgia. They were not flying. They were walking and riding on chariot. He had that much determination to seek the God of Israel. He went to worship God, but he's coming back empty heart. However, he had one thing in his hand, newly acquired scroll of Isaiah. As you all know, we are going to have a 4-hour evangelism class, an evangelism crash course that will be led by Gary Holly, who is a very capable man, and he's a good teacher. Folks, it is mandated by Jesus Christ for all of us to know the Word of God. Not only to know the Word of God, also make this Word of God known to other people. We need to know Jesus Christ and making Him known to other people. That is our slogan, our church slogan, knowing Jesus and making Him known. You see that in the bulletin, way on the top. That's what the Christians are about. So I cannot encourage you enough to join this class. And you may not go out and do the street witnessing, but it is important for you to know how to witness to other people at any given moment. So this morning, it is unusual for me not to go into the expository study, but that this is a topical study just to show you the few principles and the method of the evangelism. By the way, from next week, from next Sunday, we are going to study 2 Kings. And I am asking you to read ahead. It is a great book. And you're thinking, you said that for every book. Well, tell me if there's any not a good book in the Bible, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your only begotten Son to us to make himself known to us, and that he is an atoning sacrifice so that our sins will be forgiven, our sins will be wiped away from us, and we will be accepted through his holiness, through his righteousness. Because we have the joy and the peace that comes from you alone, we want to do the same thing, and we want to make your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, known to others. Teach us today and teach our people through this evangelism crash course that they may learn how to explain to the non-believers about Jesus Christ. Open our heart to receive your word the way you intend. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 26 of chapter 8, please. Now we have a page number there. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had a charge of all her treasury and had come to the Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So this man is, as I said before, he's powerful and influential and very rich. And he was in charge of the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He was the secretary of the treasury department. But he obviously paid all the tax on time, right? Yeah. No pun intended. Yes, I meant it. At this time, Philip, who was doing very well in the Samaria, and he was doing very well there, but God told him to go to this desert area. Wouldn't you wonder if you're doing very well in the ministry and God says, okay, you're going to leave this place and go to out in the boondock, and I'm going to tell you why later. Would you do that? And you're going to think that, well, maybe God, maybe I'm hearing something else. Maybe it's not from God. But he didn't do that. He was simply submissive to his Lord and his God. It may not be your idea to evangelize to the non-believers, folks. And you may say, well, I'm not comfortable talking to strangers. Let me put it this way. Let's say you have a cure that can cure the terminal cancer at any stage in a matter of few hours. If you had that kind of cure, what would you do? Would you say, well, I'm not comfortable talking to strangers, so I'm not going to talk about this great cure for cancer. Would you do that? Or would you say, I'm going to let this known to other people? We have and we know the greatest cure from the eternal damnation for the entire human race, and it is more important than cure from cancer. It is salvation through Jesus Christ. If you are objecting to being used by God to speak about Jesus to others, you are saying no to God and that you don't care about other people's salvation. You have to be concerned about other people's salvation. You may say, what if they reject? What if they reject? Nobody wants to be rejected. I agree. We should not be concerned about how the people might reject us to what we are telling them about Jesus. It is not us who will save them. It is the Lord. So when they reject our message, they are rejecting the Lord's message. Let's keep your finger in Acts and go to the John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 65. John chapter 6, verse 65. You there yet? And he said, therefore, this is Jesus speaking, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father. God is the one who is making the person to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is not your gimmick, it's not my gimmick, it's not marketing strategy we can win the people's heart. How would you like to be me? You've been here many times. If you've been coming here more than a couple times, you will notice at the end of almost every service, I give this altar call. So do we get the response from everyone, every non-believers? No. I wish the non-believers accept Jesus Christ every time I give that. But they don't. They are not rejecting my message. They are not rejecting my invitation, but they are rejecting God's message, God's invitation. Each time they do that, their hearts get harder. But it's not my problem. I simply give a message. I'm a messenger. I'm not the one who's studied the message. I'm just a mouthpiece of God. And you become mouthpiece of God to speak the word of God to the non-believers with a love. Let's go back to the chapter 8 again. Verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near, overtake this chariot. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And it said, do you understand what are you reading? Do you understand what are you reading? So how do we know that Philip had a burden for those non-believers? We have to keep your finger there and go back to verse 5. Verse 5 of chapter 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. The multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. For unclean spirit, crying out with a loud voice, came out of the many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. See, Philip was a Jew, and he went to Samaria. And you may say, so what's the big deal? It's like within these two groups, Jews and Samaria, there's a hatred toward one another. Jews thought Samarians are the half-breed because they originally start with the Jewish people and they interact with the Gentiles and they are the half-breed. And they kind of look down on them. And Samarian people, since they're having a hatred from Jewish people, naturally they have same kinds of reaction toward the Jewish people. Let me put it in this way. Ku Klux Klan, KKK, a member of Ku Klux Klan, became a Christian. And he decided he's going to evangelize people in Harlem, New York City. That would be utter surprise, isn't it? But that's the concept. This Jewish man went to the Samaria to evangelize to these people. Like what Philip said, we would be willing to go and tell someone about Jesus no matter how we feel. But we have to care about them and their salvation. If you don't care about them, it really doesn't work. Remember this, please. Non-believers might be lost, but they are not dumb. They know if you care about them with a sincerity and compassion, or you are doing it from mere duty. Don't go there because you have to do it. Go there because you want to do it. Don't go there because the pastor pushed you. But go there because of Jesus. That's how you would please Jesus, your own Savior. One thing the believers and non-believers have in common in the both are dreading evangelism. Believers, the one who had to evangelize, is that, oh, now I have to go tell these people, this heathen, about Jesus Christ. That we forget that once we were heathen ourselves. And the non-believers, they're dreading they're going to be evangelized. Remember the time when someone came to you, talking to you about Jesus Christ. You had that mental block, and you're sticking your hands out, talk to the hands, the face is not listening. You had that idea, right? Sometimes people do that to you. It's easy for us to get hurt in our heart. But don't. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, I plant the seed, Apollo comes, water, and Holy Spirit will harvest. Go back to what I said. Go back to what the Bible said. Unless the Father grant them, they will not be in the part of the kingdom of God. It's not you, it's not me they are rejecting. It's God they are rejecting. But you simply give the salvation message with the sincerity and compassion and love for them, then they will take it. I said this before and I will say it again. All of us have a great commission from Lord Jesus Christ to tell others about Him. It's a commission, not a recommendation. If you're thinking, I'm not going to do it, you're saying no to God, and you're saying to God, I'm going to disobey your commandment again. I don't think that will go very well with God, to be honest with you. Whenever we disobey God, God gives us a special attention to us. You know what I mean, right? I get into trouble with God way too often, and if you get in trouble, I don't want to be you. If you choose to go against the Word of God, that's up to you. By experience, I highly recommend not to. The way that Philip approached is unique, is very good. It is something that the lacking in many people's witnessing, we call it tact. Tact. If you check the definition of tact from your dictionary, it would say something like this. A keen sense of what to say or do to avoid giving offense and skill in dealing with a difficult or delicate situation. Often my wife says, you're lacking in tact because I'm like a bull in the china closet. And I'm learning a lot from her. I'm learning a lot from the Lord. Being tactful is so important. Some Christians are so confrontational and blow the non-believers out of water. Don't you agree? And they say, hey, you sinner, you come here. Let me talk to you for a few seconds. You're going to go to hell and burn crispy. Yeah, that will go very well, guys. Folks, how about starting with a common subject? If it's a guys, start with the basketball. Start talk about what's happening around the world. And you start to rig that into the salvation message. Let me give you a quick example. I was witnessing to somebody in the sheriff department. And this particular person is into the search and rescue. And I was talking to him in this way. Hey, when you go down to this place and to rescue this person, and he's way in the bottom of the pit, and no, you cannot get to it, and he cannot climb out, what's the best thing? He said, throw down the rope and go down by myself. Oh, yeah? That's what Jesus did. Because that person could not come to the top, Jesus came down to us. See how I rig that thing into his life and what he does for a living? And then I added to him, what if that person said, you know, I like that you send me the rope, but I don't like the color of the rope. And I don't like that the way you think that you tie this thing, I don't like that particular knot. So can I have a different guy? Maybe I can make my way to heaven if you just give me a few pieces of the rope here and there. Maybe I can make my way to heaven. Would it work? No, it doesn't work. Because there's only one way to get out of that pit. That is through your rope. That's what Jesus done for us. We think we can make our way to the top, to heaven. Not really. We think so, but there's only one way to get to heaven, through Jesus Christ. So while I'm talking to him about how what he does through the way he rescued people, it clicked to him. Guess what? He received Jesus Christ. You talk to them with a concern and compassion and love for them, they will receive it. As I said, don't go there just for the confrontational sake. So you can say, okay, I mark it on my spiritual belt, I witnessed to somebody. And some people's, you know, when you're so confrontational, people reject you and they even call your name. And then you come back, I was persecuted for Christ's sake. No, you were not persecuted for Christ's sake because you're a jerk. Just plain jerk. That doesn't work, folks. Being tactful. Tactful. Care about him. Jesus was so tactful, remember? He met this woman in Samaria again. He was sitting at the well, near the well, and he was during the noonday. And this woman coming out all by herself, most of the women would not come out to the well to get water during the daytime because it's so hot. She came out and met him. And he conversed with her. And our witnessing should be the dialogue, not monologue with the yelling. We need to build a bridge to bring the gospel of Jesus to them, not to burn the bridge. You follow me? Build the bridge, not burn the bridge. Let's go down to verse 31. And he said, how can I, unless someone guide me? Someone guides me. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and the lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth, and in his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the dead. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this, what? Scripture. Note the word, circle it, highlight it, okay? And preach Jesus to him. Again, preach who? Jesus. Using scripture, preaching Jesus. Like there are many quack medical doctors, and there are many quack spiritual leaders and Bible teachers, folks. And they talk about hope, they talk about peace, and they talk about this spiritual counseling, all this mumbo-jumbo stuff, and they never talk about Jesus Christ. And they try to make you feel good. So you might feel good for a while, but as soon as you leave the church, and there's a reality, then what? Jesus is the answer, not spiritual counseling. Gospel message must come from the Bible. And if it doesn't come from the Bible, it's nothing more than man's word. Philip presented the accurate gospel. How did he do that? We find him explaining gospel out of the scripture directly according to verse 35. Any presentation of the gospel must be biblical, and your word and my word will return void. But the word of God will never return to him void. Besides, Philip was preaching Jesus to this eunuch. It's all about Jesus, folks. So what is the gospel? Can you make it in one paragraph? Here, you will see it here. Jesus, who is God, the Son, came to earth to die for our sins and on the cross so that we may have eternal life through his holiness and righteousness. He was bodily resurrected from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And there is no other way to get to heaven except through accepting him as into our heart as a Savior and Lord. This is a pretty much a summarized version of gospel. Put that in your heart. You got to know the scripture. We don't want to talk about another religion. We don't want to talk about another God. We want to tell them about the truth of Jesus Christ. And there is no other name under heaven that man should be saved out of the name of Jesus Christ. The gospel message, the good news, can reach any type of people. It doesn't matter what kind of background that person coming from. He may be wealthy or poor, educated, uneducated. Or he cuts through the cultural barriers and racial barrier, economic barrier, and the age barriers. Everyone can grasp the gospel because God honors and blesses it, and somehow he drives it into the heart of people. If they were willing to listen. That's why the Word of God is powerful and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the division of the joint and soul and spirit and the joint and marrow is the discerner of the thought and intent of the person. Move down to the verse 36, please. Oh, by the way, one more thing. We tend to make a mistake. We feel that we need to add something to the gospel or take away from it or even apologize. We don't need to, folks. We don't need to. We need to proclaim it and stand back and watch what God is doing. Besides, the Word of God says at the end of Revelation, anyone who take the word out from this book, anyone who add into this book, will be eternally cursed. Verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, and you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized them, and now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God caught Philip away so that eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. By the way, we hand out this thing to you. Frequently asked questions about God, Jesus, and the gospel. There are six questions and answers. A lot of you come across people who ask these questions. These are the frequent questions. If God is so good and loving, why does he allow evil? How many of you guys heard that? Many of you, right? And how about this? How can the Christian say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Or don't all religion teach the same thing? How about this question? How can a God of love send someone to hell? If I get a dollar for each question I get to hear like this one, I would be a very rich person by now. And how about this question? The reason I'm not a Christian is because there are so many hypocrites in the church. Well, join the club. And another question you find, I tried the church before, it didn't work for me. I don't think so. They may try the church, but they didn't try Christ with all their heart. Now, you will be equipped with this. That's not good enough. Now, we have this book at the bookstore. 1 minute answer to the skeptics of top 40 questions. Some of them are overlapping here. We have this book. I highly recommend you to get this book, read through. Equip yourself. Be ready. What did God say? Be ready, in season, out of season. Ready to give while you're defending the things you believe. Let's go back to the study again. When you become a truly born-again Christian, your life starts to change. It's not you are making tremendous improvement in your life. Rather, it is the Holy Spirit who is your new resident in your heart, and He starts to throw a bunch of ungodly stuff out of your life. In other words, if your life does not reflect your spiritual change for the better, you have to wonder yourself if I am really saved. You know what I'm saying? If your life is really not reflecting your salvation, you have to ask yourself, was it some sort of hype, that emotional hype, or was it true conversion? Because if you really receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you start to dislike what you used to do. With that in mind, if you have to think hard, you have to think hard. Another very important thing, Jesus Christ finished His work on the cross for you and me. That's His purpose and His mission. Now, our purpose and our mission is to believe Him and to tell others about Him. Let me say this. If you don't care, you don't share. If you are not born again Christian, please listen carefully, please. If you are not born again Christian, don't try to share the gospel to other people. Because you really don't understand. Refrain yourself. What you need first is you need to be saved first. Coming to church doesn't mean a thing. Coming to church doesn't mean a thing. Being religious doesn't mean a thing. Reading Bible every day, praying to God every day doesn't mean a thing. Unless you open your heart to receive Jesus into your heart as a Savior and Lord. Unless you acknowledge Him, nothing matters. We'll make four applications. Number one, we need to realize that God is the one who saved people, not us. But He used people like us to make it happen. Just make yourself available to the Lord. The key is available. Second application, we need to have a burden for the non-believers' eternal destiny. Without Jesus, they go to hell. They will go to hell without Jesus. You got to have that urgency in your heart. Seems like each day I hear worse news. Bless you. Each day I hear worse news from I don't watch any other news other than Fox News, because the other side is so much of deception there. So I don't watch anything other than Fox News. Even Fox News is depressing, because you see so much garbage there. Do you think God will hold His wrath so long? I don't think so. He's going to come back soon. In the meanwhile, we need to let other people know about Jesus Christ. Third application, we need to give a gospel to the non-believers accurately. Accurately. How do we do that? We need to know the Word of God. We need to put the Word in our heart by memorizing them. It's not going to be some sort of reverse osmosis that you stand next to the Bible, keep the Bible like this, and sleep with the Bible as a pillow. It's not going to transfer, the Bible is going to transfer into your brain. Even if you hold the USB cable in your mouth, stick it into the computer, it doesn't work. You have to literally put the word in your heart. And you may say, you mean I have to make an effort? Yeah. Probably you make an effort to memorize the statistics of a basketball and football game, which doesn't mean anything in eternity. Fourth application. We need to evangelize the truth of Jesus with a compassion for non-believers in our heart. Compassion. Tactfulness. That's the key. Let's stand up and pray.